Good morning and welcome to this gathering of our Bridge family. Friends, I want to ask you, on this last Sunday of 2020, are you like me here today celebrating what has been one of the most beautiful displays of our living Lord in your life this year? I pray that, like me, you can look back on 2020 and say, wow, what a year of the Lord's power and presence. You see, I know, I'm not stupid. I know that most people are thinking, are you kidding me? This is 2020, the year of COVID. I can't wait for it to be over. Well, let me tell you, in one sense, I'm with you. I am so looking forward to 2021. But not because 2020 was so bad, but because our Lord is so, so good. I pray that as we come together and we bring this closing Sunday to our gospel gardening series to an end, I pray that during this Sunday, you'll be reminded of just how awesome our God is and what a blessing we have in being the adopted children of God. That if you are a biblical Christian, then you can look upon today, yesterday and tomorrow with the same passion and zeal because you serve the one true living God who is the same today and for every day coming ahead. He will never change. You can take him and his promises as personal, eternal guarantees. Oh, I pray that's how you've come today. And if not, then pray with me now that God will prepare you to celebrate the seed of Christmas, the seed of all eternal goodness that you and I will be able to celebrate as the family of God, the faithful truths, the love of the Almighty, the promises of the one true living God. Oh Lord, I pray that as we begin today, not with a question, but with an outburst of praise, I pray, Lord, that there are those that are hearing these words now who are actively being drawn closer to you, that by your Spirit, by your grace and for your glory, that there are those that are listening to my voice that are hearing you knocking at the door of their heart. Oh Lord, may we so understand gospel gardening that from this day forward and every year that is to come, that we will be that beautiful family that serves as your ambassadors. Oh, may this be true, I pray, for each one within the sound of my voice. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, friends, this is kind of a unique time. We're literally closing out a year and a sermon series. The series is entitled Gospel Gardening. And we've said that we would recognize from Proverbs 29:18 that there is a need for prophetic vision. For where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, and there they find the greatest trouble that anyone could ever know. But for those who have that prophetic vision, that clear understanding of what God would have, there is blessing. And we have seen this blessing in 2020. Oh, friends, I pray that as we began the year trying to get a better understanding of Christ, Christianity, and the church. When we began the year literally with our first two messages focused first on Acts 1:8 and then second on the Amen of the Bible, we saw that we will receive power as Christians when the Holy Spirit of God comes on us so that we can be Christ's witnesses locally, regionally, and globally. And we saw that we would witness to the fact that Jesus is the Amen of the Bible. He is the author. He's the message. He's the engine. He's the necessity from cover to cover. Well, I pray that we'll end this series again with an amen that he is the author. He's the answer to all that we need. He's the message that we bring. He is the engine. As the Spirit of God is the muscle in every miracle, Jesus is the engine in every amen. and he is the one necessity for all human beings, everywhere, for all time. Oh, friends, may we know this gospel and then carry the Acts 1:8 message as the workers, as the boots. You recall, I pray, we said we would look at the roots, the fruits, and the boots of gospel gardening. We spent the first part of the year going deep into the root system. We said we needed to understand that which was universally and eternally true, those roots from which everything else would come. We looked at the truth of the gospel and how Jesus is the story from beginning to end, and that every part of the Bible's text, every scripture would take us to the gospel if we would look through those biblical lenses. We saw that there were patterns and what theologians call types throughout the Bible, all showing us over and over and over and over again that this is the great garden of God's grace, that what we see is God's divine design being unfolded and explained. We noted as we went deep into some of the Psalms, we went and dug deep into Psalm 46 and Psalm 91. We walked through the entire book of Joel. We sunk our teeth deep into the meat of God's word. We saw and focused on hope in ways that most people never know. And we said, if we're going to understand gospel gardening, if we're going to understand Christ, Christianity, and the church, we needed to understand the very foundation of our faith, those rock solid, those unmovable truths that would shape everything in the Christian's life, everything in the true church's perspective, everything that would genuinely exemplify Christ. And we saw in this focus on the roots that it is the roots that give birth to and define everything that will come forward in the way of fruit and boots. That anything and everything that comes forward as fruit and comes out as boots, they are all expressions of God's grace, every bit of it. If we don't get that, we miss the roots. We noted as well that all of the fruit, as Jesus spoke extensively about fruit, that it would be the bearing of much fruit that would prove that we are in fact his disciples, and this would bring glory to God. It was Jesus who told us that you would know the tree by its fruit, that it's not what people say with their lips, it's how they live with their lives that tell the story. We went from focusing on the roots to then seeing out of the roots the fruits that were not just what many would associate with the fruit of the Spirit, not just the nine that were listed, but we noted that God tells us that all of the things that are like this, that exemplify Christ, that bring a positive witness to the glory of God, everything that is truly in line with living out a love affair with Jesus, everything that truly represents him as his ambassadors to the world, these, all of these attributes, all of these lifestyles, all of these priorities, all of these aspects of genuine living would serve as direct and indirect fruit. It changed our perspective. We were no longer looking at a list, but we were understanding the life that we are to live. And we noted that whether we were talking about the fruit or what it was to actually be the personal boots as a person, as a family, as a church, that all of this would be coming through the muscle of the miracle maker. Again, it's God that's doing all of this work, that where the fruit and where the boots are being produced, it's an act of God's grace. And for all of us, we could see this as we transitioned from the roots to the fruits to the boots. And here we began to focus on the parable of what many call the sower. Some call the soils. But I pray from now on we will recognize as the parable of the seed, because we noted that all of what comes out of the family of God comes through faith, but its root source is the grace of Almighty God. We see Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 being displayed in this sermon series, that we have been saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that none of us will boast. However, we've all been saved, if we were saved, for good works, so that the world will see the glory of our God, that it is through the work of the boots of Christ, through those boots that will bring forth the fruits that will only come out of the real roots of our God, that this is what the family looks like, loves like, and lives like. Here, as we've spent over a month focusing in on this one parable, we see that the boots, anyone that is truly the church, all of Christianity, the boots have to come out of the roots that are Christ. We see the sovereign work of God in all of the activities of the boots. We noted that to be a sower, a biblical sower, was to be captured by grace, appointed by our Lord, and then set on the course that would bring his love and his light out to the world. That was in part what sowing was demonstrating. We were bringing and sowing the word of God. His name is Jesus. We're sowing the word of God, which is the holy truth and love of his scriptures. We even noted that when we sow the seed, that seed at times represents us as the church, that we are those that were born of the seed that is Jesus, that we are from that family of Abraham, not with the Jewish line, but the Jesus line. We were born of that eternal seed. And consequently, those of us that truly are his family, we have the eternal life that he promised in and through him. We then focused as well on what it was to see the soils and to recognize that we need to understand the difference between the good and the bad soil, that the good biblical boots were those who are actually the good soil, where the good seed had come in and supernaturally germinated. And that where that good soil germinated the good seed, it would perpetuate the cycle, because therein what would be born and grown would be new good sowers. Friend, I pray that you've seen this throughout, that this series has helped you to understand Christ, Christianity, and the church. That you've come to realize that the boots, the family of God, it's the Acts 2, 41 through 47, supernaturally unified, devoted family of God, that ecclesia in koinonia, those with the burning hamathumadon passion to live with that singular purpose, that riotous passion for the glory of God together. That you would recognize that we are those who, by God's grace and for his glory, are literally bringing forth, bearing much fruit, revealing to the world the tree that we are. Oh, I pray, friends, that you see that to be the boots, it's to be the family that lives in the armor of God. We are constantly in this battle. We are living out the fight of the faith. And we're doing it with a joy that the world doesn't understand. We're doing it with the ability to know that no matter what, we're always fighting from victory, not for victory. This is how and why we can maintain that fruit of the Spirit in every context. Oh, friend, I pray that you will embrace the call to live the life as the boots. You see, for us, for those that I serve as lead pastor, for those that are in the Bridge family, we are the good soil. We are, I pray, the good sowers. We are a part even of the good seed. And for this, I say to you, thank our God. Serve our God. Be the very boots that work this gospel gardening. All by grace and all with a thankful dedication to the glory of God. Well, friends, I pray as we look at closing this series out, I pray that your understanding of Christ, Christianity, and the church has truly been at a place and in a way that has ignited your passions. I understand, we all do. None of us are going to be perfect, but oh, may we be passionate for the glory of God, for the gardening that we get to do in this gospel truth and love. May we be the church. May you have a burning want to be the church. Friends, I know that this is going to be hard. There's no mistaking it. We live in a world. This is the COVID year. This is a world that is in utter chaos, but we ought not be surprised. None of us should be shocked by this. Oh, nobody saw the virus coming. But if we read the Word of God and we understand the will and the ways of God, we know that this is a fallen world. It's bad and it's going to keep getting worse until Christ returns. But praise God, Christ is returning. That we know, that we know, that we know that the garden belongs to our God, and the gardening of it belongs to the boots that is the bride of Christ. We get to garden and take care of the gospel's work. Oh, may you and I, may we hear the words of our Lord. I want to share with you probably the high point of this year. The high point of this year for me as a preacher was when I got to preach a message that was my son's ordination. And I called it the ordination for the ordinary. It was for you and for everyone else you know. It was to say there's a call for the Christians to come and garden, that we need to recognize per Luke 10 that there is a high quality harvest to be had, but there's a low quantity and frankly a low quality of harvesters that are serving the Lord. We need to be shrewd. It was Jesus who said, I'm sending you out, Christians, and I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. I think that this is perhaps the greatest portrait of what it means and what it looks like and lives like to be those boots that will bear much fruit, that exemplify faithful obedience to the root who is Jesus, the great vine that we obey and that we abide in, that when we will go and make disciples, 2 Timothy 2:1-6, that we will make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, that we will work the garden, yes, like the farmer, but also like the Olympic athlete, also like the soldier who does not get entangled in civilian affairs, but is so devoted to the command of the commander, that there is a laser-like focus on loving and living for our Lord. Friends, I pray that you will hear this and understand that God is calling and privileging you and me, if you are a Christian, to come and work his garden, to come and demonstrate his grace, to be his hands and his feet, his lips and his fingertips, that we would be 1 John 3:18, those who do not love with word and tongue, but in action and in truth, that we would be those like in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, who love not just in distributing the gospel, but in sharing our very lives, and that we would be those who give to the point of drawing the attention of others, not because of the splash and the wow, but because of the depths of our heart. The willingness to serve and to sacrifice, to love God by loving others and serving in truth and love. Oh, as you listen to me on a day, a night that was so special, I pray that you hear God speaking to you what it is to be the boots of our loving Lord. Watch this, and then I'll come back and we'll close. And then I pray we'll close out this series with a worship set that will truly inspire you to go and celebrate our Christ. Amen. and amen.
See, listen to our Lord, our Lord. This is the word of God from the God of the Word. Behold, listen up, look here. That's what he says. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents. And, don't miss the conjunction, and innocent as doves. I want to bring to you 10 ornaments of ordinary ordination that fit in the micro and the macro from this verse that I pray will help to change your life to the glory of God. Here's a little forewarning. I'm going to drop an acronym in the middle to you. 10 points with an acronym in the midst of it. Number one, behold, I send you out. You've been selected. Behold, I send you. You have sovereignly been selected. Think about that. Charles Spurgeon said, giving your heart to Christ is not the gospel. Salvation comes from some miraculous thing, my addition of the word miraculous. Salvation comes from some miraculous thing that Christ gives you, not something that you give Christ. See the grace of the gospel. You have been selected. Two, behold, I send you out. You have been set apart, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses locally, regionally, globally. You have been set apart. See the love of our God. For God so loved the world. You know how this goes. You are selected. You are set apart, and you've been sent. Listen, there is no cocooning for the commissioned. No cocooning for the commissioned. You have been sent. Go fishing. We're on a fishing mission. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So simple, so clear. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. John 20:21. Behold, I send you out. Let's go to number four. As sheep. So you've been selected, you've been set apart, you've been sent. Number four, be sheep, each one of us. Here it is. We know it from John 10. If you are truly saved, you are a sheep. Well, let me tell you again with some insight from Griffin's police work. There are five types of people walking the planet. Wolves, goats, sheep, sheepdogs, and shepherds. If you've been ordained, you're a sheep. And you don't have to have a pastoral title. You don't have to have a vocational mission. If you've been saved, you're a sheep. Now, let me tell you something about sheep. Sheep are not goats. Sheep are sheep. Know the difference. It's important eternally. Now, some people will point at this point to the stupidity of sheep. I'm not going to go there. John Piper says vulnerability, not stupidity, is the point of being called a sheep. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to see how dependent we are on him. Number five, we are sheep in the midst of. So number five, we're going to be submerged and surrounded. If you've been ordained by Christ, if you're a Christian, you're to live submerged, surrounded, in the midst of. Think about that. It's going to call you to be courageous and bold. If you hear nothing else, I pray you take this away. A big part of ordination is preparation for persecution. A big part of ordination is preparation for persecution. You have been called to live as sheep in the midst of, submerged and surrounded by. I think of C.T. Studd, who said, "Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a Thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. Friends, I encourage you, read Hebrews 10, 11, and 12. The clarification that comes, this letter that is an exhortation, a warning wrapped in encouragement, it'll thin a herd. I tell you what, it will thin a herd for the glory of God and as an expression of truth and love. The last thing you want to do is ever be around those that are going to hear one day, "Away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. Oh, you spent plenty of time in the church, but you never really were in Christ." Recognize that no matter how many days I sleep in the garage, I'm never going to wake up a car. Live submerged. Understand that battleships, they're not made for the harbor. Battleships are not made for the harbor, and Christians are not meant to cocoon. Live submerged amongst the wolves. Number six, we're going to be susceptible. We're going to be susceptible because these are really wolves. You know what wolves do to sheep? They kill them. That's what they do. I used to think that wolves eat sheep until I read Keller's book, a beautiful book about a pastor who used to be a shepherd who gives you insights into this dynamic. And he explains, no, if you take a wolf and you get it into, let's say, a flock of 20, 30 sheep, I used to think he'd kind of walk around, put the napkin on his chin here and start carving up the sheep. Eat them one at a time. You know, you got yourself a good few months here. It's not what he'll do. The wolf will go around and kill all the sheep. It's driven by an innate evil desire to kill. That's what Christ is bringing to us here, an understanding that you are going to be susceptible. Susceptible, as Bonhoeffer says, listen, when Christ calls you, he bids a man come and die. He bids you come and die. That's the point. Say, now, Pastor, I don't know if that's going to sell well. We can't put that on the marquee. We need to. Griffin, I charge you to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God as you preach the word of God. Sheep in the midst of wolves. If you are here ordained, you will be susceptible as well. You'll be susceptible to the antagonists. It's been said, you can't confront a God-hating world without getting a reaction. You'll be susceptible to the antagonists. You'll be susceptible to people's anger. They don't like it when you tell them what they're doing goes against what God and his word call for. You'll be susceptible to aggression. 2 Timothy 3:12, you know this. If you choose to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Well, I know that's in the Bible, but you got to understand. See, I figured out a way around it. It's called cowardice. That's what it's called. Cowardice. Compromise. Or the Bible's just not quite on that point. You see, God's word says, if you do, then you will. People say, yeah, not me. I said, well, guess what? You're not. Because if you were, you would. Not my words. The word of God. We'll be susceptible to attack. Galatians 6:17, Paul speaking, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. Think about this. Jesus in his little church had a wolf. Right? Paul's telling the world, listen, if you walk with the king, you will carry his scars. You'll be susceptible to this. You'll be susceptible to all-out war. And here again, Griffin, I speak in a micro sense, but I offer it to all of you. Don't ever forget that a man is defined by who he lives for and a man is defined by who he lives for and who or what he fights against. You and I have been called to the fight, Christian. Your ordination is a call to the fight. Praise God, he's got some armor for you and it's his. You'll be ready. We are the equipped. We are those that in Christ are ready to lead the charge. Let's continue. Look at this passage and see the six great costs that come with the Great Commission. If you go past verse 16, verse 17, you'll see this is the warning. Jesus speaking. Listen, you're going to be arrested by the authorities. Verse 21, your family is going to betray you. Verse 22, you're going to be hated by all. How many? All. Verse 23, you're going to be persecuted and driven out. Verse 25, you're going to be maligned and mistreated. Verse 28, you will be put to death. I didn't see that in the flyer when I initially looked into Southern Seminary. Maybe I should have. Okay, number 7. Therefore, you've been sent out as sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, I would just say to you, be strategic. That therefore, it's there for a reason. It's to say, since this, then that. Now, each one of us, and Griffin and Lauren, you will have a unique call. Your therefore is going to be different than my therefore, different than Dr. Booker's, Pastor Aaron's. But you got a therefore. The therefore is to get you to be intentional, strategic, and committed. We may not win every battle, Griffin, but we ought not be shocked or surprised by any of them. Therefore, be ready for the fight. Number 8, be shrewd as serpents. This is where I'm going to drop the acronym on you. Be shrewd as serpents. Be shrewd. You and I are to outmaneuver the manipulators. You and I are to understand how the world works so that we're not taken up by it. Now, part of my story, praise God, I've got a PhD in sin. Okay? My pre-call life, I was dirtier than most people you'll ever meet. I spent a lot of time in prison, and I tell the men that I meet, listen, there isn't anybody in here that I couldn't run with. Understand, the God I'm representing, his grace is bigger than your dirt. His gospel can handle all of your garbage. I know it. I'm a poster boy. I'm a trophy on the mantle of grace. Be shrewd. You and I are not to be welcome mats that just think that because we're Christian, there's no reason to address the cunning nature of that which is evil and fighting against God and his family. Remember, you're an ambassador. You're a sheepdog. You're a shepherd now after tonight. You have new responsibilities. If you've been ordained, if you've been saved, you have lost friends that need you to tell them the truth, to be shrewd. Let's use SHREWD as an acronym. And here again, I speak to us all, but my heart goes directly to Griffin as a dad. The S of SHREWD, Griffin, be a stabilizing soldier. Be a stabilizing soldier, one who will bring to the people that which they need to hear in a world that is very turbulent, deceptive, dark, and dying. Martin Luther said it, and we sang it. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Amen. Here I need to put a cautionary note. As one who has a tendency to lead a charge, Griffin, you as well, you need to watch out that you do not create rodeo clown wannabe Christians. If you think about it, if you've ever seen a rodeo, the rodeo clown comes across as the hero that saves the cowboys. They seem to be heroic, and everybody thinks they're virtuous. I used to be one. They're not virtuous. They love the adrenaline. They're not in it to do the virtuous work of saving the cowboys. They're doing it for the fight against the bull. They just want the victory. Beware those, as you become this stabilizing soldier, beware those that may lead you or tempt you into becoming a rodeo clown. There's a world of difference between the two. H and shrewd, be humble, be holy, be hope-filled in all that you do. Recognize this, Griffin, that most people assume that the measure of a man comes in the midst of his adversity. That's not so. The better measure of a man comes in the midst of his accolades, his affirmations, that time when the world wants to lift him up. You see, everybody wants to get up when they've been pushed down, but rare is the man who wants to bend down when the world wants to lift him up. Be that humble, holy, help-filled, hopeful person that champions this truth and love. R, be repentant, be responsive, and be resilient. Be repentant always, responding to what the Lord is doing, and resilient. Don't let any of the joy suckers drain you. They're out there. Don't let the kick in the gut. Don't let the shock and the surprise of one who may let you down take you off the field. Live this life. Be shrewd. Be the evangelist. that is missionally engaging, explaining, equipping, empowering, and ultimately exemplifying Christ. Be the W, the one who is known for your worship, your walk, your work, your war, and ultimately your witness, that for which you have been given the Holy Spirit. Lastly, in our shrewd acronym, be devoted. The D is be devoted to deliberate development as a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples all the while. You see, every person, all of us who have been ordained, we've been called to be shrewd, to live this acronym. Now it takes us to the last two in our 10 ornaments of ordinary ordination. Again, for all of us, it's the conjunction and. You've been sent out as sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as a serpent and I want you to be simultaneous. You are to be the one that lives with the tension of the both and. You know how this goes, church. You're a Sunday night church family. I know that you know. Deal with the tension of sovereign grace and human responsibility. Deal with the tension, the both end of loving our Lord and hating sin. Live with the tension. Be the tension of shrewd and innocent. It's to embrace this. It's to be that one who truly represents Christ to a world that doesn't know him. Your ability to walk in the tension of the both and is so key, not just for your life, but for those who are dying for lack of a witness that speaks and lives credibility. Okay, lastly, number 10, and this is where we transition as well to the ordination celebration. You see, this is when your life, that innocent life, as you live out this love of God, as you live this out as innocent as a dove, that word innocent at its root, it means pure, unstained, uncontaminated. It's to live in love with a laser-like focus on our Lord and his word, to be again that ambassador. I say to you this, that a holy calling, per Richard Baxter, a holy calling will not save an unholy man. Every one of us needs this ordinary ordination and to walk this way. Think about it. To be innocent in shrewdness, it requires that our head, our heart, and our hands are informed, inspected, and inspired by God's word, God's will, and God's way. It's that culmination that represents that innocent. Augustine said this, "He cannot die badly who lives well." Praise God. "He cannot die badly who lives well, and scarcely shall he die well who lives badly." You see, you can be right and still be wrong if you're not righteous. And at the same time, a righteous desire will not correct a wrongdoing. It's the fullness of the two together. It's that both and to live out this. And when you do, you now live spirit-led. This is what is ultimately at the core of ordination. It's a call and a commitment to live this spirit-led, Christ-like life. And in this sense, your motives, your message, and your methods all matter. In our family, we have created what I call a manifesto, our missional manifesto, that brings this ordination process into focus. You see, we will together live responding to grace and repenting of sin. We will live trusting the Bible and obeying God's word. We will together grow in Christ and live spirit-led. We'll pray for guidance and we'll follow by faith. We'll die to ourselves and we'll carry our cross. We'll be the church, and love one another, truly love one another. We will live equipping the saints and exemplifying supernatural unity. We will live ministering as ambassadors and discerning matters shrewdly. We live worshiping God vertically and together experiencing him horizontally. We will proclaim the gospel no matter what, and we're going fishing for men. We're going to make discipled warriors and win spiritual warfare, all the while loving our King and ultimately serving his kingdom. You see, while tonight may represent Griffin's official ordination, my prayer is that through unpacking God's word and rightly understanding what he's really said, David Platt has said, everybody loves Jesus till they realize what he really said. By really realizing what he really said, it involves being sovereignly selected, being lovingly set apart, being missionally sent out as sheep who will be submerged and surrounded by real risk, who will be, all of us, susceptible to the ultimate calling and sacrifice. That's why we need to be shrewd, strategic, simultaneously both anding our way all the way through, ultimately being spirit-led. And in the same way that you're sovereignly selected and spirit-filled at the beginning, that circle comes full round as you take every step spirit-led in Christ. So, I say to all of us, may we hear and heed God's word. Hear and heed the God of the word. And now, to my beloved son, before we pray, from this day forward, Griffin, forevermore, you will be an ordained under-shepherd, a sovereignly selected servant leader in the aromatic army of the Almighty. You will be an ambassador. I pray that you will always cherish both the privilege and the responsibility that comes with your calling, that which is to be a champion of God's glory as you are a servant of his gospel and a distributor of his grace. I pray that you will do this all the while making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And each one of you, as was shared in my ordination service, supernaturally unified, may you become a double-fisted seed sower who grows comfortable behind the plow. I pray that for all of you. I pray that for all of us.
Amen, friends. I pray that we will all be this shrewd representation of the boots of Almighty God. I think as we close out this series, and where we focus most recently in Mark 4 on the parable of the seed, I want to share with you something from Ligonier Ministries as they focus in on this. I think it's a wonderful place for us to end. Ligonier Ministries says, quote, "With the various parables recorded in Mark 4 that incorporate the metaphor of growing seed, Jesus sheds light on various truths about the kingdom of God. The parable of the sower in verses 1 through 20 indicates that the preaching of the kingdom will not find a lasting reception in everyone who hears it. Rather, only the good soil, those whom the Lord has chosen to be kingdom citizens, will receive the word of God unto eternal life. In the parable of the growing seed, in verses 26 through 29, our Lord emphasizes the mysterious unseen growth, I would say the miraculous growth of the kingdom according to the good pleasures of God and the patient expectation of faithful servants who plant as he has ordained. The parable of the mustard seed, and here's where I'd like to focus as we close. The parable of the mustard seed, and I must tell you, friends, I see our Bridge family around the world as paralleling this parable of the mustard seed. The parable of the mustard seed emphasizes the contrast between the humble beginnings of the Lord's kingdom and its final consummated form. You see, we start small. Right now we are small, but God is doing the miraculous as we serve him as his faithful boots. Ligonier goes on and says, "The kingdom of God, says our Savior, is like the mustard seed, which is smallest of all the seeds on earth. Jesus's point is that the beginning of the kingdom is tiny to the point that it seems insignificant. hardly anyone notices its start, just as almost no one pays attention to a mustard seed. Yet, the kingdom is not to be evaluated by its humble, nearly invisible origins. For just as a mustard seed grows into the largest of garden plants, the kingdom of God finally grows to such an extent that no one can miss it. History bears out the truth. History bears out the truth of our Savior's teaching. Jesus started out with 12 ordinary men, whom he appointed as apostles, and a handful of other followers. Jesus lived and died in what was considered a backwater province of the Roman Empire, and he's mentioned only in passing in secular historical sources of that time. But, praise God for the but, since the time of Christ's ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension, the kingdom of God has been steadily growing. His church is found around the globe. His church is found around the globe. Acts 1:8. Bridge family. His church is found around the globe, and it grows even in the most hostile of lands. Amen and amen. End quote. Let me tell you what's also noted is John Calvin said, and here again, referring to the parable of the soils, and I would say to you and me, friends, to the Bridge family that is blessed to be the boots. That's the title of our message today. Blessed to be his boots. Calvin says, the Lord opens his reign with a feeble and despicable commencement. The Lord begins with what seems like this mustard seed. Again, John Calvin, the Lord opens his reign with a feeble and despicable commencement for the express purpose, get this, for the express purpose that his power may be more fully illustrated by its unexpected progress. Friends, as we live out being the boots, the blessed boots of our gospel King Jesus, people are going to look and say, we seem like that mustard seed. And we say, amen. We don't have anything in and of our own strength, but we have everything we need for life and godliness. We have everything we need for life and godliness. And he, our king, will grow his seed like the mustard seed. It will be a miraculous work of our God. We'll give the Messiah all the credit and we'll be his blessed boots on mission until he comes home. Oh, watch what he does in us and through us, Christian. Bridge family, I pray that as we press forward by faith and search out the glory of our God, carrying his gospel and distributing his grace, I pray that you will know the blessing that it is to celebrate Christ this day and every day, this year and every year, no more, no less, no matter what. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you have died that we may live. May we now die to ourselves, pick up our crosses, follow you, and tell your glory story near and far. We love you with all of our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.